Is it possible that it's Monday again? Apparently it is. The third week of January is upon us already, and I'm glad that you've decided to spend a few minutes with me today on God Is. Getting into the Bible is of invaluable importance to us, whether you be a first-timer, a beginner, or a seasoned disciple of the Word of God. Meeting Christ Jesus in the Scripture is an investment well worth making this week. And last week, we talked about the message of a man sent from God who was a prophet. His name is John the Baptist. 2 weeks ago, I told you about the character of the man. There were 8 essential elements in his character. And then last week, we cracked open the nut of his message. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, the Bible says, "The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" We must give this statement prominence in our understanding of the Bible and of who God is. It is really very important you know that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so that we really get it, I'm breaking down this proclamation into 3 parts. Part 1 is sin of the world, part 2 is Lamb of God, and part 3 is takes away. We've been focused on part 1 and specifically the word sin. Let's continue to understand sin this week. On Friday, when we left off, we had defined sin as rebellion against God. Sin is rebellion against God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 says, "Sin is lawlessness, and lawlessness is living like there is no law." That's rebellion because there is law, God's law. To break God's law, to be lawless, is to rebel. And we looked at God's law and used Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 through 17, as an example of the law of God. Let me reread the words of God to you. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day you eat from it, you will surely die.'" That is Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. Here's what I said about God's law. First, the law is clear. And second, God demands perfect obedience to the law. And Adam and Eve, the first man and the first woman, demonstrate that they both understand these truths about what God has so clearly said to them. But did they keep the law? Did they perfectly obey? Sadly and tragically, no. Adam and Eve rebelled against God. They sinned by breaking the law, and therefore God cursed them. Read Genesis 3 to see how God cursed our first parents. Anyone who breaks God's law is cursed because God demands perfect obedience to his law. Now, all of that is by way of review. We talked about quite a bit last week, and so if you're new to the broadcast, welcome. And or if you missed even a day last week, then you need to be aware that you're joining our conversation midstream. I encourage you to download a podcast of this broadcast and listen. This will be repeated later, but I'll get this on your mind now. Just go to www.590amtheword.com and click podcasts. www.590amtheword.com and click podcasts. God Is will be there. It's easy to find and to navigate. Surely, if you were with me last week, and even just listening to my summary just now, this raises several important and valid questions about what we've read in John and 1 John and in Genesis. And so what I want to do this week is to take some of those questions and answer them biblically. My challenge is to find what I believe to be the most important dynamics of sin to discuss with you now, because this is a vast and crucial doctrine or teaching of God. It is impossible to understand what it means to be a Christ follower without understanding sin. And sin is essential to understand if any person has any hope of ever being Christian. That's why I insist on teaching God's law. Looking at the law, like looking at a mirror, allows us to see how ugly sin is and how dominant sin is in each of our lives. We're all sinners, myself first and foremost among you, and we're all desperately in need of Jesus, who takes away the sin of the world. So as I teach sin, please never lose sight of the complete testimony of John the Baptist. Jesus Christ takes away sin. That is the gospel, and of course we're coming to it big time in the days ahead. But first I want to deal with sin, as hideous and vile as it is. Because until we understand how repulsive sin is, then we cannot possibly understand how resplendent God is, because he has taken the sin of the world away through Jesus. Jesus has come into the world, God in human flesh, to rescue us from sin, to wash us clean of sin, to deliver us from this evil. If you have put, or when you will put, your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, then he will redeem you from it. Jesus Christ is the only one who can and will take away the sin of the world, which includes your sin, if you will genuinely believe in him specifically for yourself. Not generally, not in head knowledge only, like, oh, Jesus exists, but believe in him personally with your whole person. So keep listening. Do not miss a day. Because of the format of radio and my time limits, I can never say everything the Bible demands that I say in just one broadcast or podcast. So I have to depend on the Holy Spirit to motivate you to keep coming back. I do trust him with this. I pray a lot for each and every one of you. May God in his wisdom take this true and eternal and magnificent message of John the Baptist and apply it to whoever he will, even this very day. All right, I think one of the big questions about sin is this. What is the origin of sin? What is the origin of sin? Put another way or two, we can ask, where does sin come from? Or what is the source of sin? Even as I ask it, I sort of swallow hard because I wonder how I can answer such a big and important question concisely. Here's where I'd love to be together with you and a coffee to discuss this in person. Alas, that is not possible, and so let me proceed anyway. To be concise in my answer to the question, what is the origin of sin, or where does sin come from, I'll answer in the name of one creature, Satan. Satan. Sin is of the devil. How do I know? What is my proof for blaming the devil for sin? The Bible is. The Bible is my proof. Listen again to the words of the apostle and writer John in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. This is now 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Hear that again. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. 1 John 3:8. It's a really important scripture to know and memorize. The origin of sin is Satan. Where does sin come from? Hell. To quote one of my favorite authors, the Puritan Thomas Watson again, sin is the devil's firstborn. Sin stamps the devil's image on a man. Sin is the devil's firstborn. Sin stamps the devil's image on a man. How true. Let's see the devil in the biblical text before I say more. I'm reading now from the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Genesis 3, beginning with verse 1, says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." I will pause there. Who do we have here? A serpent. This is a snake. And you might wonder, oh, so Satan is a snake. The devil is a serpent? Yes and no. We do not know what Satan actually looks like, but on this occasion, Satan appears as a literal serpent. The popular idea that Satan is roaming around in a flaming red body with a pitchfork, a tail, tall ears, etc. is not biblical. Not biblical. It's fantasy. And it also greatly diminishes Satan's power. Dressing up Satan like that is just a way for the world to make him seem friendly inviting, almost like a big fat joke. But Satan is no joke. Here, Satan manifests or disguises himself as a serpent. And yes, this serpent talks. Let's continue in Genesis 3, verse 1. And the serpent said to the woman, pause again. What? A talking snake is the source of sin? Yes, because that is Satan's voice via the snake. Now, did all of the first animals talk and have running conversations with Adam and Eve? I doubt it. But this one had the ability to talk in the same way the devil manifests his voice in temptation to you and I this very day. Does Satan look like a snake? Here he does, but he does not always take the form of a snake. God is more interested in describing the evil rot of the devil than he is telling us what Satan looks like. The Bible does not tell us what he looks like, but obviously, from what we have read thus far, Satan can manifest himself in a way that human persons will hear him. And we should ask here, who is Satan? Who is the source behind this voice? What do we know about him? If he is the source and origin of sin, then surely the Bible has more to say. And yes, the Bible does. And so tomorrow, I will give you some biblical background on this evil creature. Remember now, we're learning what sin is, and today we have come to the question about the origin of sin. Where does sin come from? According to the Bible, Satan is the source of sin. He is the first tempter of sin. And so if you would, join me tomorrow as we learn more about him here on God Is.